Breakfast with Spanky, 7:30 to 9:30 on RDU 98.5 FM.
On the line, someone else who's interesting, Mr. Lindsay McDonald joining me. Good morning, Lindsay.
Good morning, Spanky.
Nice to have you with us. Now, firstly, can you tell me a little bit about this non-binding, as they call it, non-binding UN Indigenous Peoples Declaration? What exactly is it exactly?
The Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People.
Yes.
Well, as I told your producer, I'm not an international rights lawyer, so everything I say has to be within the rubric that I'm a political scientist and we're terribly, terribly bad at making predictions. But in 2007, the UN General Assembly voted through the Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. And declarations, as you probably realise, are non-binding but aspirational. So
it's sort of what the classic UN thing, like their awareness days, just trying to shape perception?
More than that, and hugely disappointing to some people who wanted a much more thoroughgoing and perhaps even a covenant on the rights of Indigenous people.
So why was it needed, and how does UN play a role in that?
Well, as with all things, you really need to go back to history for that. I think after World War II, the hope was that human rights would make us all equal, and it became apparent for Indigenous peoples especially that the states weren't moving to give them that kind of equality, and also to recognise that they should have some kind of self-determination. If you go back to the 18 and 1900s, of course, the world was owned by Europe, and through the 20th century, decolonisation took place, but of course for settler states and other states that have Indigenous peoples, that decolonisation is a lot harder.
So most countries seem to be going along with this, and New Zealand was one of the few that was dragging our heels. And then all of a sudden we sent someone over to sign it, sort of very much out of the blue. Why was there all this drama as far as we were concerned?
There's a number of reasons that one could give. Obviously you could say politics, but that's not really the answer you're looking for. The US, Canada, and New Zealand and Australia, the Kansas group, really were perturbed by the process that the declaration went through. It was suddenly taken through the Human Rights Council onto the floor of the General Assembly, and it was not what they thought to be good international law. And of course, all those countries depend entirely on international law, especially New Zealand and Australia. And it's a mixture, if you read the text, of aspirational and what looks like, in some of the clauses, a concern to make binding on states some of the ideas about self-determination.
So they were just a bit unsure what they were signing up to?
A bit unsure, but they also have, what would you call it, a deep concern that international law that goes through the GA is good. That goes through the General Assembly is good law that can be enforced. And no one's quite sure what the declaration means. It wasn't quite worked through as much as they wanted, so they wanted to make some kind of protest. Obviously, in New Zealand, that looked pretty appalling.
Now, it's been said that this was the most significant step for New Zealand Indigenous rights since the Treaty of Waitangi. That's quite a big statement.
Yes. I'm not sure that
that's just what people are saying right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's a hard thing to tell. I mean, Māori die 8.2 years younger. Australian Indigenous peoples die 20 years younger. I'm not sure that words make much difference to that.
Yeah.
But, on the other hand, if it allows for better policy delivery to those people, then maybe it does. I'm not sure that the declaration is bigger than, for instance, my tribe's treaty settlement of 170 million in the South Island.
Yeah.
But that's a very, maybe, class-based approach to it. The important recognition here is that they were self-governing nations before colonisation, and that, and this really arises out of the Human Rights Declaration and is sort of subservient to it in some ways. For the consent of Indigenous peoples to be governed by settler states or to be in any way ruled by their laws, that nationhood had to be recognised, and the UN Declaration is hugely important in that regard because it recognises that Indigenous peoples were nations. Those nations were taken away from them without their consent, and that modern legitimate states need to make accommodations, both symbolic and substantive, to deal with those historical facts.
Now, just lastly, Lindsay, it's created obviously some political buzz now that it's been passed. It's very interesting. Everyone's got different and maybe different views on how significant this is. So the Maori Party says this is very significant, and Rodney Hyde agrees, and that's why he hates it. And John Key says it's just a token gesture. Don't worry, it won't have any significance really, but isn't it lovely?
I'm on safer territory here. Look, I think it's about the same as Therese Arsenault's take on the seat in the Auckland City Council. National's getting a free meal ticket here. Māori and ACT can slag it out. They're getting free meal tickets, and no one's actually being held accountable for the policy change.
Right.
There's no debate. I mean, Key's managed to slip out of most press conferences, most hard questions on it. He's Prime Minister. He signed New Zealand up to this. He should be able to answer it. Instead, Māori and ACT are getting to appeal to their primary audiences, and we're having no national collective government about what this means.
The Māori Party says that even though it's non-binding, that they would be able to use this, at least they could even try to use it, you know, when they're going through settling things.
It will be used now in every, and it already has been being used, even though New Zealand's not signed up to it, in every tribunal case, in every court case to do with Indigenous rights, to do with every judicial review that any Crown institution's being used in. New Zealand's, it becomes part of what judges have to make coherent with the rest of the human rights law in New Zealand and the treaty obligations as well. The judges have been reading treaty obligations into law for 20 years now. In the same way it's non-binding, the declaration will be read into New Zealand law.
Right. Hey, nice talking, Lindsay. Thank you very much for that.
No worries. Okay. Thank you very much.
Catch you later on. No problem. Catch up. Bye. That's Lindsay McDonald there, political analyst, talking about the UN's Indigenous People's Declaration. God.
This has been a Breakfast with Spanky podcast, thanks to RDU 98.5 FM. To find out more, go to rdu.org.nz.